I learned a lot about God. I learned a lot about Bible stories. I don't remember really understanding that God wanted a personal relationship with me during that time. When I was about your age, I went to a Christian camp in the mountains here in Colorado. And it was there that I met people my age. We talked about knowing God, kind of like he was their friend. It was really new and different for me. And as I watched that, I realized that was something I really wanted. I wanted to have that same kind of relationship. Then I went to Fort Collins to go to CSU for college. There I joined the Summit View Church, the college group. And my small group leader asked me one night if I'd ever prayed to ask God into my life. And I told him something like, you know, I haven't prayed that, but I really feel like I'm a Christian because of my upbringing, all that church going and stuff. And he pointed out that going to church doesn't make you a Christian, and that I should pray that prayer. So I did. I prayed that prayer that night. A couple weeks later, in Estes Park, we went for a college retreat, and I chose to be baptized. And I was literally dunked in a pond that was covered with ice just down the road from the YMCA. It was very memorable. I met my husband there at CSU. We got married, had two kids there in Fort Collins, and we moved to El Paso, Texas, to help with that church plant. And we have four more kids there in Texas. I would like to point out that I am a mom of four girls, aged 7 to 20. Okay, this is my family. This is the wedding that Steve referred to last night in his talk. This is my daughter, Lavender. She's the bride. She's 20, and she married Jira Nelson. So I now have a son-in-law, new and different. The two girls in blue there, Jade and Sage, are here. They're over here. They are 18 and 13. And then my littlest is Sienna. She's 7. She's the flower girl. And then on the left, you can see my son, Clay, who looks like a giant. Some of that is the way he's standing on, like, the ground's a little higher than what the rest of us are standing, which is unfortunate because it makes him look extra tall. He is tall, but he's not that tall. He's over at the guys DTC right now. And then my husband, Dove, and then our son, Canyon, who is 11. So the two little ones are with my husband right now. So that's my gang. I love having daughters. They're some of my best friends. We have so much fun together. We like to get coffee together and talk. We like to go hiking and have adventures together, like backpacking, swimming behind waterfalls. We just had to do that. A couple weeks ago, my 7-year-old is still more of an observer to these things, but I'm excited for when she's old enough to join me more. Sorry. I'll at least get through the first page. We like to watch chick flicks together. We like to cook and shop together. We share a lot of things, like shoes, clothes, makeup, jewelry, hairbrushes, favorite books, and a love of swimming in any body of water that we come across. We outnumber the guys in our family, and we like to tease them, and we just like to have a lot of fun together. So let's go ahead and pray. I'm gonna start here. Dear God, thank you for this beautiful time in the mountains. Thank you for our friends and for your love. We invite you to be here with us. Please speak to us. We want to know what's on your heart this morning. Help us to hear, to be open and receptive to you, and to respond. Amen. Am I beautiful? Most women ask that question. I know I have asked that question, if I am beautiful, over my entire life. From early on, when I would dress up for things like the Christmas program at my school, and my mom had bought me a pretty dress. Or when I started wearing makeup and heels at prom, even on my wedding day, and even on normal days, when I look at myself in the mirror, I ask that question, am I beautiful? As women, it is a normal, healthy question to ask. The question of beauty is wired deep inside a woman's soul. We are going to talk about women and beauty today. To start, I'm going to ask you guys to do something. Okay, I want you to participate a little bit here. You should have received a note card. Please raise your hand if you didn't, and my friend will get you one. When you have your note card, I want you to draw a line down the front of it so you have two sides. And on the left side, I want you to label the top me, M-E, me. Then I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes. You're looking at me, I'm telling you, close your eyes. Listen to my voice, okay? I want you to think and quietly reflect about what you see that is beautiful in you, okay? I want you to think of 3 to 5 things that you see beautiful in yourself. And you decide what is beautiful, physically or inward. You decide what is beautiful in you. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes and write those 3 to 5 things down under that category, me.
Okay, see, a few people still writing, but a lot have stopped, so I'm going to move on. We're going to start with the origin of beauty. Okay, God is described as beautiful by the psalmist in Psalms 27:4. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. God is inherently beautiful, and the creation is full of his creative beauty. In the beginning of Genesis, we read about God creating the earth and the heavens, the waters, the sky, mountains, islands, all the diverse animals. He's so creative, and everything he created is beautiful. When God created the earth and everything in it, he looked at it, perhaps even admired it, and I actually said, maybe smiled at it, and said, it is good. So that's fun because Sue said that last night. Think of some of the beautiful places you guys have seen. Maybe you remember a sunset off the beautiful cliff in one of the gorgeous parks in Utah. Or maybe it was so many colors at once in a vast sky overlooking the desert of Arizona. Or maybe it was a majestic mountain here in Colorado. Or maybe the waves crashing against the beach in California. Or vast green fields in Nebraska. Or maybe something colossal in Texas, where everything is bigger. Right, girls? Maybe you noticed something breathtaking on your drive up here. I did. We drove over that mesa, and it was just absolutely beautiful. Why are these places or things beautiful? What about them makes them beautiful? What feelings do they stir inside your soul? Beauty is defined online as having qualities that delight or appeal to the senses and often to the mind. But when I see beauty, I experience even more than a temporary delight and pleasure in my senses. When I'm enjoying a waterfall, for example, I sense an invitation bigger than the waterfall. The view of the waterfall is inviting me into it. It's nourishing to me and comforting. It soothes my soul to look at it. It inspires me. And it makes me think of things way bigger than myself, even of eternity. And it draws me closer to God. In that sense, beauty has power. Power to go beyond itself. To draw someone beyond the object of the beauty. Did you know that beauty is inside of you as well? After God created the world we live in, we read in Genesis about the creation of mankind. Oh, okay, there's that slide. Sorry. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Unlike the rest of creation, the plants and beasts, regardless of how you look or feel, you are made in God's image. You don't have to earn this special designation. All males and females are something special, almost divine, displaying many things, including God's strength and beauty. Okay, let's move on to chapter 2, where God tells us more specifically of the woman's creation. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." God actually says, it is not good for the man to be alone. Something is missing. But what could be missing? He's already created a garden that's beautiful beyond description. He created animals of such variety that scientists are still discovering new species today. He created a special animal, man, in his own image that makes all those other beautiful animals pale in comparison, because now this one, man, thinks intelligently, has complex emotions, the ability to communicate with God himself and an eternal soul. But there was more of God's image yet to be revealed. In Genesis 2:20b-23, but for Adam no suitable helper was found, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. God creates another human and reveals more of his image in her. And she has been described as the crown of creation, Eve, the woman. She is beautiful. She is the solution to Adam's aloneness. She is relational. Relationships are deeply important to her. Her soul is deep and mysterious. She mysteriously can grow a life inside her womb, give birth to a baby, and then sustain it. Her beautiful body is softer, curvier than Adam's. Her voice is a different pitch. She brings beauty to the world just by being herself. She is trusting, tender, gentle, and strong, destined to be the first mom. She's a dazzling creature with a crucial role to play, a future of her own, and she reveals uniquely important aspects about God, such as being relational, which is seen in the mystery of the Trinity, a mystery not to be solved, but to be enjoyed. She has a heart to be loved, a desire to share adventure, and a beauty to reveal to the world. She is truly different than Adam. She is unique and feminine. We women want to be beautiful. How many little girls twirl in their dress in front of mom and dad and say, look at me, am I beautiful? The answer to that question for every woman is yes, you are beautiful. John Meyer once said about gender, it is the only aspect of my identity that the expression of which in itself brings glory to God. God is pleased when the picture of eternal reality is in the woman, and that picture in the man are clearly distinguished, honored, aspired to, and expressed. I was 19 years old when I first heard this talk that John Meyer did at my church. I remember feeling at the time like gender didn't really matter, that it was kind of like random chance, that some people were female and some were male. I didn't really notice or see that women had a lot of significance. They just happened to be female. This was my 19-year-old self. But when I heard this, it made me feel that there is great significance in being a woman, that I have something special and important to bring to the world just by expressing my femininity. Our very struggle with our sense of worth wrapped up in this question, am I beautiful, points to something glorious that we were intended to be. Eve and all her perfection in the garden at creation. So we've been talking about where beauty comes from God, and how we each have that beauty as image bearers of God and are the pinnacle of his creation beauty. But some things have gone wrong. There is an enemy. The Bible tells us that at one time this enemy was the most beautiful creature in the heavens. Ezekiel 28:17 says, your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. Lucifer was beautiful. He could either bring glory to God, his beauty could point others to the glory of God, but instead he became proud. He turned to himself, and in selfishness, he turned away from God. He has a special hatred of Eve's beauty and femininity. In Genesis 3, 1 through 10, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat from the fruit from the trees in the garden. But God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it." Oops. "Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.'" The first sin is Eve choosing to mistrust God's heart for her. She decided to believe that God was holding out on her, that she needed to take matters into her own hands. So she takes what was not meant for her to take, and then her response to her sin is to hide. In our broken state of sin after the fall of Eve, we women, like men, have turned away from God. Like Eve, we still believe that God is holding out on us, and we have to arrange for the life we want, and we have to create it ourselves, and that sometimes we should hide. These beliefs separate us from our own hearts, and we lose touch with the longings that make us women. The deeper issues of our own soul go unresolved. The issues like trusting God, believing that he's good, believing that he has good for us. Instead, we focus on hiding and controlling. Besides Eve, we've experienced an attack on our femininity and identity as image bearers of God's beauty. For some of us, the answers we've received to the question, "Am I beautiful?" have been painful and filled with lies because people around us have failed us deeply. The ways others have failed us come in many different forms. For some girls, a mom or dad or other broken scenario in our childhood have answered the question in really confusing or misleading or damaging, hurtful, or lying ways. Some of us got a message like, "You are not beautiful, and you never will be." Or, "You're only acceptable when you look like this or when you do that." Or, "You're a disappointment," or "You're a burden," or "You're a fill-in-the-blank." And all this leads to a sense of shame. Because we do not meet the standards around us, we feel shame, and we feel unworthy, broken, and unrepairable, and like we want to hide. Satan tries to get these women to believe that they are the problem. Beyond the messages we have each received from individuals in our lives, there is a large collective message created by the world. The world's definition of beauty is cheap, it's fake, it's skin deep and fleeting. We've all seen the magazine covers at grocery stores. Popular actresses, athletes, clothing store ads, makeup ads, right? You girls have all seen a Barbie doll. One of the early examples of worldly beauty that little girls are handed to play with. Did you know that if you applied the dimensions of a Barbie doll to a real human being, she would stand about 6 feet tall with a 39-inch bust, 18-inch waist, and 33-inch hips? The girl on the right for a college class like designed this human-sized doll, applying Barbie's dimensions to her. I don't think she's very beautiful. What do you guys think? Her dimensions are actually impossible for any human being to achieve. Yet she represents beauty, perfection, and ideal to little girls all over the world. Let's go to the magazine covers. What you guys see is not real. Those original photos are chopped and cropped, touched up, or digitally manipulated. Unwanted fat is pushed back. Eyes are spaced farther apart. Flaws are removed. And a perfected, unreal person appears on the cover. And we catch a glimpse of her when we're waiting to pay for our groceries and think, wow, that woman is beautiful and perfect. But she's about as real as a cartoon. I grew up comparing myself to magazine pictures, actresses in movies, and girls at school. And this led me to believe very deeply in my heart that I was not and would never be pretty as they were. I decided that having beauty was something that some women had and some did not, and I was one of those that did not. I would just be plain my whole life. I've never been petite a day in my life, you guys. I have big bones, I'm very athletic, I'm very tall. I've never really enjoyed makeup that much. I just love being outdoors. And back in the 90s, this clothing trend called grunge was kind of in. And I would hide myself in these popular oversized flannel shirts because of how I felt. The world doesn't allow women to be beautiful and age. The world's definition often changes, for example, from tall and thin to short and curvy. And often, worldly beauty is based on how you feel. For example, I feel beautiful in the morning, but by the afternoon I feel ugly or I feel fat. The world wants to define women mostly by outward beauty, especially sex appeal, and we are being bombarded by this definition every day. One of the biggest lies our culture has given us is that we must look different than we are to be beautiful, that there is something wrong with us. Let me assure you, God didn't make you wrong. Do not let our culture give you the definition of beautiful. You will be playing a game where you play by their rules and you never win. If we try to find beauty in the world's way, we will be on a roller coaster from top to bottom. We will find moments of great pride and moments of great despair and shame. In response to the shame, the hiding woman tries to hide her true self from the world, rather than bringing her beauty to the world that it so desperately needs. Hatred of herself, her own body, playing the comparison game and an inability to accept herself the way God created her, leads to self-loathing and discontent. The controlling woman will dominate because she's afraid of being vulnerable, the very thing that makes her beautiful. She is guarded, striving, fighting for her own interests, looking out for her own good, manipulative, possessive, jealous. The very opposite of what Peter calls us ladies to in 1 Peter 3, 3 through 6. Sorry. Do not let your adorning be external. The braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. But let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. So I'm going to read that again. Let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart and the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. So the holy women of the past made themselves beautiful by having a trusting, gentle, and quieted spirit by hoping in the Lord. I urge you, girls, do some soul searching. Look deep inside yourselves, past your self-protection plan. Do you trust God? Is he trustworthy of your deepest secrets, your deepest dreams that you've never shared with anyone? Is he good? Does he have good for you? Can you trust him with what's on your hearts? With what's going on in your life? Can you trust him with your fears, your hopes? Will you allow the beautiful hidden person of your heart to stop hiding and controlling and to trust God? In answering that question, you stand on the edge of who you are created to be, the woman with the gentle and quiet spirit who trusts God and brings her beauty to the world around her by trusting, being vulnerable, not hiding, and not controlling. The past 5 months for me have been very full, hence the wedding picture, right? Sometimes very demanding of my time and energy. I helped my oldest daughter plan that wedding. My second daughter graduated from high school. And during this busy time, we just had so much car trouble. At one time, we had 3 of our 4 cars broken or in the shop. One of the cars I was driving to meet my daughter at a bridal dress shop died in the middle of a large, busy road that had 3 lanes. I had to coast to the side across 2 lanes with no brake lights to let people know I was slowing down, no signal to let them know I was changing lanes, and no power steering. I did have my brakes, thankfully. When I finally stopped safe at the side of the road, I called my husband and cried. I felt the load of stress on my back. So many things to do, right? I wrestled a lot with the Lord during these months, and I often asked him, "Where are you, God? Are you in this?" I felt alone sometimes and like I had to get it all done myself. But throughout the months, there were places I had to let go of controlling things. I just couldn't do it all. I had to take a nap sometimes instead of working on my to-do list. I had to take a very difficult, heartbreaking family issue that I had a role to play in and step away from it because I knew I couldn't do it all, and I had to leave it in God's hands. And guess what? God was there, right in the middle of it. He allowed rest where I didn't expect it. He resolved things without my help. The wedding was beautiful. I look back and I see God calling me to yield to him through that time, over and over. I believe I brought beauty to my family as I obeyed him in that, the letting go. One Sunday morning in the thick of it, I remember during worship, forcing out words till they just flowed in worship to God. The song was, "You Are Good to Me." And I just sang this with tears in my eyes. When you can sing worship to God in the midst of life difficulties and heartaches with a trusting heart, that is beautiful. It's okay to enjoy your outward beauty. Take to heart what it says in Proverbs. Our beauty is fleeting. It does not last. Peter isn't saying you can't do these things. If you want, wear makeup. Pick out your clothes to look good. Do your hair. Wear jewelry. But if you look in the mirror and still think you are not beautiful, then your sense of beauty has been distorted. In the moments the mirror says something else, you are not less valuable. God made us ladies in all shapes and sizes, all colors of hair, eyes, skin, because he loves variety, and he does not want us to all look the same. But instead of just being beautiful and allowing our gentle beauty to shine, we can try to create false outward beauty. And it can go way beyond just braided hair and jewelry. We can try to manipulate our outward beauty to get a feeling of beauty and a reaction from others. It is true this type of outward beauty can get you immediate attention and attract others to you. But relying on it is really just another form of control. And consider, who are you trying to attract? If you are looking for affirmation of your beauty from boys or the world or anywhere else than God, you will be disappointed. Inward beauty is so much more beautiful than outward beauty. I want you to think of a godly woman you know. Does she look like a Disney princess? Should she? If you believe yes, then you're buying into the lie that our culture wants us to believe, that beauty only comes in about 5 body types. I want you to stop and have some time to think again, okay? I want you to think about a woman you know who you consider to be beautiful. Close your eyes. Think of this woman in your head. I want you to think about three things that are beautiful about this woman to you. Okay, when you're ready, I want you to pick up that note card again, and on the right side, I want you to label it Godly Woman. And I want you to write down three things that are beautiful about this woman to you. Okay, I'm going to keep moving because I'm going kind of long here. Godly women are beautiful because of their inner beauty. The beauty is not flashy, but steady, deep, unwavering. She is beautiful on a good hair day, and she is beautiful on a bad hair day. Building character like self-control, purity, kindness, doing what is right, and doing good deeds are also important components of inward beauty. 1 Timothy 2:9 through 10 says, I also want the women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, not with braided hair, gold, or pearls, or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. And then here's 1 Peter 3:6, which we already read. As someone else is going to talk to us about the importance of good deeds, purity, and self-control, I'm going to challenge you with a picture from a famous Disney cartoon, Cinderella. You all know the story. Cinderella, normally dressed like this, shows up at a ball in a beautiful gown where Prince Charming sees her across the room. That poor prince, he dances with her for a few hours and chooses her as his wife in a short time, largely based on only her looks. But what if one of her stepsisters had the looks of Cinderella instead? Showed up first, enchanted the prince with her looks, got him to marry her, and he then later discovered too late what his new wife was really like. You remember the stepsisters? All the whining, complaining, selfishness, their jealousy. I wonder how long he would have remained enchanted by only her outer beauty. Do any of you guys wonder what the guys would say? The guys in your lives. The guys over at DTC in the other camp in Montrose, in response to our question. I was wondering, and so I asked several pastors to ask the guys, your peers, from the other churches to answer the question, what makes a woman beautiful? Grab that note card, on the back, draw another line. On the left side, I want you to label it DTC guys. I want you to jot down some of the keywords of what these guys think is the answer to our question, what makes a woman beautiful? Why are you laughing already, Jay-Z? Okay, here's their answers. These are anonymous. They're from multiple churches, and I'm just going to read them, okay? A good personality. Someone who cares about others and is kind to them. Being relatable, seeks to spend time with others, sweet to other people, not a show-off. Good personality, a good relationship with Christ, responsible, tender, and respectful. Thoughtful, kind, and cheerful. Fears God, wise in actions, wise in words and music. So I think these are really mature answers, guys. Loves the Lord, is humble and understanding. Great sense of humor, a woman that can laugh at herself. Low maintenance. those are all together there. A fiery fear of the Lord, strongly motivated to serve God's kingdom. A heart for others, loves her family, cares for those less fortunate. A woman who cares for children, is hardworking, disciples other women, loves the unlovely, emotionally self-controlled, and loves God's word. Loves others well, others-oriented, servant's heart, knows God's word well, good relationship with her family members. A woman who loves the Lord really and truly, in her worship, prayer, and quiet time, serves the church, serves her family, truly loves her family, especially her siblings. Funny, kind, fun to be around, but not flirty. She can talk to the guys, but doesn't pursue the guys. Intelligent, hardworking. She is a Proverbs 30 woman for the Lord. Her appearance, her love for the Lord, and her maturity. Last one, I think what makes a woman truly beautiful is inner joy and life. Often displayed in a smile, these are the things that are appealing to the spirit of others and not the flesh. Did you guys get a few of those words and jot them down? This is what some of the boys in our churches shared. I think what they shared is very insightful, kind, and mature. I don't know if any of what they shared was surprising to you or encouraging or maybe discouraging. I didn't get their opinions so that you would feel pressure to try to impress them or live up to a standard that teenage boys have, okay? I do not want any of you to leave DTC and your takeaway is, okay, now I know how to impress the boys in my life. In one sense, their opinion doesn't matter at all, okay? But you can see how a godly person is interested in inward beauty. Inward beauty has much greater value than outward, okay? Now let's imagine switching Cinderella's outward beauty with that of the ugly stepsister. Imagine Cinderella is the same person, but she's now in the body of either Anastasia or Drusilla, you pick. Would that make Cinderella ugly? Is all her beauty outward? A part of her beauty is outward beauty. She is pretty, but a larger part of her beauty is her heart, her character, which comes out in her response to being mistreated, her humbleness, her cheerfulness, singing while she does menial chores, right? Her care for those little mice. She feeds and clothes them. Her gentleness. These things would make her beautiful even if she was drawn like one of these stepsisters. What if the whole movie played out and Cinderella looked like one of these ladies? Wouldn't we all love her by the end? Because of her dear heart and kindness and responses to the hardships in her life, I think we would all agree that she's beautiful. I love that this old Disney classic considers the inner beauty of Cinderella as well as her outward beauty. She is beautiful. Think about singing while you hand scrub a large marble floor for the second time in one day. While a mean woman unjustly bosses you around in your own house, Cinderella is just so humble in those responses. What character! Her graceful attitude, her serving, her compassionate love for the animals. These are the things that make her so beautiful to the viewer. As we end, please hear that God has made you beautiful. That is a fact. I praise you because it says, I will give thanks to you for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works and my soul knows. Sorry, I'm reading a different version here. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You don't need to prove that to anybody, including yourself. You don't have to turn anyone's head. It's not measured by the standard on social media. There is nothing left to prove. Your true beauty is your inner beauty, who you are deep inside. A child of the living God who loves you deeply. And the living of that out in a trusting relationship with the Lord. I want you to grab that card in the last category that's empty. I want you to label it God. And I want you to jot down a few of God's answers to the question, am I beautiful? Go ahead and write those down. Okay, you can spend more time on that later if you want to, but we're just going to wrap up. So we've talked about a lot of things, from Barbies to boys, from Eve to Cinderella, from the world's shallow idea of beauty to God's gift of beauty. Here is a summary of what I wanted you to hear. Oops. You are beautiful. That beauty comes from God and reflects God. Inward beauty is superior to outward beauty. Let's pray. Dear God, please help us as women to help us to be women who value our inner beauty. Thank you for reflecting your image through us, for the gift that femininity is to the world, and for exactly who you made each of us to be. Amen.